Good singing, the good music. All right, you have your Bible open to 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and I want to talk to you about money. Some people get real nervous when a preacher says he's going to talk about money. I rarely preach about money. Not that I shouldn't. The Bible has a lot to say about it. The Bible has a lot to say about money and how it's to be used and who it really belongs to, though man thinks it's his. Money doesn't belong to us. Everything I have, I've received. Some people have all these misconceptions about money. So I want to talk to you about money and the family. We've been talking about the family these days, and I want to just talk to you a little bit and just give you some good biblical principles about money. Now, before I get into the message, I want to make some things very clear, okay? Money is not evil. Some people have this thing in their mind, well, you know, money's evil. You know, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. Well, the Bible never says that. We just read it tonight here, that it's the love of money. It's when it's not a person having money that is evil. It's when money has a person. It consumes their life. It's all they think about. They live to have money. And God made that very clear in His Word. I also want to make it very clear that being poor is not being more spiritual. Some people have this mindset, well, you know, the poorer you are, the more spiritual you are. You can be poor and be spiritual. But you can also have a lot of assets in life and be spiritual. That's right. You see, our spirituality is not measured by what we have and what we don't have. That does not measure our spirituality. Some people think that it does. As a matter of fact, the apostle Paul, writing to young Timothy, he made reference to that. If you'll look in verse number, go back if you would to verse number 5 of chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. He's talking here about contentment, and he said in verse number 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. You know, I have a lot, so I must have God's favor on my life. Well, just a casual looking around and just a little thought would let you know that there's a lot of people that have gain, but they do not have godliness. And so they're not godly if they are godly because they have gain, and they don't have gain because they're godly. And so I just want to make it very clear that God in His Word has a lot to say about money and where it comes from. Everything that we have, we've received. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says that. You know, we have to understand that, and so because of that, we ought to have a right attitude if we do have money, or when we do have money. And so I just want to give you some thoughts about money, all right? Our world is just, especially our nation is out of control. And I hope this will help someone. And I had to take a really strong look at myself and my finances. I want to be a good steward of everything that God gives me, and I believe you do too. And so I want to talk to you about that a little bit, okay? Number one, and I hope you'll write this down, I think sometimes people think, well, you know, people have marital problems because of romance or intimacy or because of children or because of in-laws, you know. Well, you know, some of these things may cause marital situations and marital pressures, marital problems. But surveys show, beyond any shadow of a doubt, the number one problem in the homes of America, and there's a reason why it's in America, the number one problem in the homes of America is finances. Finances. We have become a very greedy people. Greedy people become a very unthankful people. An unthankful people become a very wasteful people, to where we just think that God owes us, and we think that we've got to have every little thing that comes out, and we've got to always be upgrading and increasing, and if we're not careful, we'll think that our contentment is met by the things that we possess. And the Scripture's very clear on this. Jesus spoke about it Himself in Luke chapter number 12. But here, the Apostle Paul made it very clear. Look again in verse number 6, as Pastor David read in your hearing. Godliness with contentment is great gain, brethren. You see, you say, well, I want to be well off in life. Do you? Do you really? Well, then you seek God, not gold. Now, there's nothing wrong with having God, and there's certainly nothing wrong with having gold. But if you, listen, if you are getting that out of order, and you, your life is just about seeking money, you're going to miss God's place for you in this life. And that's what he's teaching. That's what the scripture's teaching. God gives us money. That's right. He does. It's all God's. So that's my money. No, that's God's money. And he's got it on loan to you. You're a steward. There's a difference between an owner and a steward. See, an owner has a right to that money. It's his. A steward doesn't have a right. He has a responsibility. And see, we need to understand the difference between ownership and stewardship. And so when I have money, I have to understand this is not my money. I'm not the owner of this money. This is money that God has given me. And so I don't need to look at the money that I have as a right. I need to look at it as a responsibility. And I'm going to give an account to God for the money that God has given unto me. And you are too. You say, well, I gave my 10th or 12th or 15% or 20%. No, God's going to hold me and you and us accountable for all of it, every bit of it. And so I want us just to think about this. I want you to write these principles down. Number one, the lack of money cannot take away genuine contentment. There's a lot of people looking for contentment in life. Most people outside the church and some inside the church are trying to find contentment in money or the things that money can buy. Can I tell you? Genuine, lasting contentment cannot be found in money. Amen. It cannot. The Bible teaches this over. Listen, I have scripture after scripture after scripture that I could give unto you out of the book of Proverbs, out of the book of Ecclesiastes, out of the book of Luke. Listen, here in Timothy, scripture after scripture. You, me, we will not find genuine, lasting commitment in or contentment in money. Doesn't bring it. It's needful. Thank God for it. Amen. But that's not where you find contentment. So the lack of money, if you can't find contentment in money, the lack of it doesn't take it from you. And so if your goal in life, now please listen to me, is to get more gold than God, you're looking at the wrong gold. You need to get more God in your life. I need to get more God in my life. I need to become more like Him. I need to be seeking God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, listen, don't be seeking those things. Don't be seeking a means to get all those things. You seek God. Let me seek God. Let's seek God. And God will add these things. God knows what we have need of. As a matter of fact, if you'll look here, look if you would, in verse number 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. See, this section is talking about contentment. And so he's saying, what Paul was writing this young preacher, Timothy, and he said, Timothy, he said, now listen, he said, you be careful. And you warn those folks that there in Ephesus where you're pastoring, be careful. Money is a wonderful servant, but it's a terrible master. And he says, so you keep your master Jesus and not money. Right? Can I ask you, who's your master? What do you get up each day for? What's your purpose? What drives you? What motivates you? Where's your passion? Is it in the ways to make money instead of the ways to influence souls? Is it to please a customer more than pleasing God? Now listen, we ought to do our job. I wanted to say this at the onset, but I'll say it now. I don't want anybody to leave here and say, well, you know what, I can be lazy. The preacher said that God doesn't really care that much about money. I didn't say that. God's very interested in money. He sure is. And he wants me to be interested in money, to be a good steward of it, and to use it as a servant. But when money becomes my master, see, that's when I've crossed the line. When money becomes something that I'm seeking so that I can look a certain way or I can act a certain way or I can put myself in a certain position to think that I'm better than others. And Paul will address this here in just a moment. And I can look down on others and say, well, I'm better than you because of what I have. The Apostle Paul said, now you've missed it. You've missed it. That's not why God gives us money. That's not why God gives us money. That's not why you have money. And so number one, what are you seeking in life? Where is your contentment at? Do you find yourself discontented? Do you feel like you have to order something? Listen, this can be a problem. So I'm just going to go ahead and get it out there. When you have to order something and have some repeatedly come into your home, something's not right. Nobody has that much of a need. Got to always have something coming in, something new. There are marketers and they are advertisers and they're targeting people. Now listen. They know that Americans are driven by credit. I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm not trying to get up in your business, but I'm trying to tell you right now that if you have to charge everything, it may be some things that God doesn't really want you to have. I don't know. I can't say I know God's will for your life, but I can say this. If you're constantly having to charge things, I don't know that I would say that that's God's will. Right? You say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, you need to think about it. You think about that. That's that plastic surgery I was talking about. It's easy to flip that thing out, isn't it? It's easy to flip those things out, but I'm going to tell you, at some point, the payday comes. Isn't that right, Kevin? The payday comes. I like a young man who realized, you know what, I got to get this taken care of. And he got it taken care of. And he stood and testified. I had no idea Kevin was going to testify that tonight. And I think some folks need to do some plastic surgery and cut those things up. I've had to do it in my life. Those things will get you. Now listen to me. Young folks, now I want you to listen to me now. You say, well, I want to have what mom and dad have. I want to have what grandpa and grandma have. Well, you might have it when you wait as long as they waited to get it. That's right. And again, I'm trying to help someone. I'm not trying to run your life. I'm not trying to tell you shouldn't get stuff. I'm just saying be cautious now. Be cautious. Just because you can charge it doesn't mean you should have it. I wish all of God's people would say amen right here. It's a problem. And it comes from discontentment. If you're discontent and you think that you can just keep buying newer, bigger, shinier stuff and that's going to bring contentment, the devil's deceiving you. He's deceiving you. And he's going to use that to continue to get you to chase the carrot. Don't do that. Find your contentment in a close walk with God. Find your contentment in godliness, in walking with the Lord. Brethren, I'm here to tell you, Jesus is truly all that we need. And he said right here, and I think I know exactly what Paul was saying here in verse number 8. He's saying, at food and raiment, let us therewith be content. That's about what Jesus said, wasn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Right before that, he was talking about clothing and meat, right? He talked about God feeding the sparrow, feeding the fowl of the air, and clothing the lilies of the field. And he said, your heavenly fathers know that he knows you have need of these things. And he said, doesn't he love you more than these? He said, you stick with God. God will take care of you. You get close with God. God knows what your needs are. See, that's where contentment comes. Right, brethren? Contentment. Now, young folks, you're going to have an itch. And you're going to have a vacuum in your heart and in your life. There's going to be a void. And you're just going to say, well, I got to fill it. And I got to have something new and something newer or bigger or shinier or better. And I'm just telling you, that doesn't do it. But Jesus will do it. You walk with God, he'll do it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't buy you something. Not saying you shouldn't have new stuff. I'm just saying that if you have to charge a bunch of stuff and go overboard in debt, I would be really careful. You need to get some godly counsel before you start making decisions like that. Help me out, some of you older folks. Help me out here now. See, some of us made some mistakes that you don't have to make if you'd listen. So I just pray to God that you'll listen. So number one, please don't think that the lack of money can take away genuine contentment. Don't think that. Say, well, if I don't have a whole lot, I won't be content. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Is that right? More stuff doesn't necessarily bring contentment. As a matter of fact, we're going to see here in just a moment what it can bring. It can bring great sorrow if it's not gotten by the way that God wants us to have it. And so that's the first principle, and I hope you'll remember that. Please don't think now, well, I'm ashamed. And so many, listen, the world has a way of doing this, and I just want you to please hear me now. The world has a way of trying to make some of you young folks think, well, I don't have as much, or I don't have the fashion clothing, or I don't have this type of car, or I don't have this type of, you know, house, or I'm here or there, and I don't have as much as other people, and I'm afraid people look down on me. Now, I want you to listen to me now. Don't you try to find your worth in what you have. That's not where your worth is. You know what worth is? Now, listen to me. Worth is what someone's willing to pay for something. And when you begin to think about worth, I want you to remember what Jesus paid for you. There's your value right there. There's your value. Jesus gave it all for you. That means you're worth everything to Him. Everything. And so don't you ever let somebody try to cause you to think, well, you're not this or you're not that because you don't have something. You have what it took for Jesus to lay it all on the line for you. And so don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever think you're less than someone else because you don't have something that they have. Now, I was brought up the old-fashioned way. You want something, work and get it. But I'm not saying that's the way you ought to do it. If you want something, you ought to pray and work and get it. Amen. See, I wasn't brought up with prayer. But now you are. And you work and you pray. And if God wants you to have it, God will make a way for you to have it. Is that right, brethren?
Amen.
Amen. And so I pray to God you don't get handcuffed now. Number two. I want you to notice this. Look in verse number 7. The loss of money, I said the lack of money, can't take your real contentment. You find contentment in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, I have learned that whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Have you got there yet? Have you? He talked about being abased and abounding. Have you got there yet? That no matter what state you're in, that's Philippians 4:11. Paul said, listen, he said, I've learned. It's not something you're born with now, brother. Hear me now. God's got to do this work in your life. God's got to show you your worth. You learn by walking with Christ what your worth is and how to be content with what God has made you and what God has given you in life. And you won't be trying to compare yourself with other people and say, well, I want what they have, or we don't have what they have. No, you look at what God's given you and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. You see, instead of looking around and being unthankful for what you don't have, you'll be looking at what you do have and thanking God for it. That's the way to be content in life. And God wants us to be there. And you can be if you'll do it. We all can be. Number two, the loss of money is inevitable. Look at verse number 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Oftentimes when someone dies, folks say, well, boy, he had a lot. How much did he leave? All of it. You listening to me? You can't take it with you. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have it now. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Somebody said, round here, money talks. Another guy spoke up and said, yeah, it says goodbye. Amen. Yeah. You say, well, I'm not going to say goodbye to my money. Or my money doesn't say goodbye to me. Well, one way or the other, money's going to say, either you're going to say goodbye to it or it's going to say goodbye to you. Because you can't take it with you. So what's this verse of Scripture teaching? I believe this verse of Scripture is saying, you be careful now. You be careful how you live your life. I want you to turn to a couple of Scriptures with me. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 23. Would you do that? I'm going to ask you to turn just a few Scriptures. And these are just little principles that I hope will stick with you. Proverbs 23. So the first thing, don't try to find your contentment in money, young folks. It's not there. There's been many, many, many before you that tried to find it there. They came up empty. So will you. You will never find contentment in things, material possessions. You'll never find contentment there. Contentment is found in the God of heaven. in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where contentment is. In Proverbs chapter 23, look if you would in verse number 4. Proverbs 23, look in verse number 4. The Bible says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly will make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Don't live your life for riches. I've already said it. Listen, if you have a lot, praise God for it. Amen. That doesn't make you carnal. Praise God for what you have. You thank God for what he's given you. Just use it for the kingdom. If you have a little, you thank God for what you have. Amen. Our spirituality is not weighed on these things, for the good or the bad. But it is inevitable. Now, I want you to listen to me. Because it's inevitable, as we go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 6, that money is going to, one day we're going to have to say goodbye to it. Then you be a good investor of your money. Okay? Don't be frivolous. You with me? Don't be frivolous with money. You be an investor. You be a good investor. You put it into things that you know you're going to get a return from. I would highly recommend it be the work of God. Because the Bible says we're to lay up ourselves treasures in heaven. Right? Where moth and rust is not corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal. And so put your money in the work of God. I would even say, and I would be bold in this because it's Sharon and I, we've had this conversation many times. We're going to leave what little that we do leave, we're leaving it to the church. You need to have God's work. You need to have things in God's work. You need to have that in your will. Now, I don't have it in my will. Don't know why you wouldn't. God gave it to you. Give it to his work. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I thought you said you weren't going to try to run my life. I'm not trying to run your life. I'm just trying to tell you how to invest your money that'll keep getting dividends long after you're gone. Long after you're gone. And so I pray to God that you would understand that the lack of money doesn't make you discontented. Not if your contentment's in the right place. The loss of money is inevitable. You can't hold on to it. Invest it. Use it. Use it. Right? There's people, we've heard of these people before. You've read these stories of these people that die and they find them and they're homeless and they've got checks that amount to millions of dollars that they were trying to hoard because they just wanted to hold on to their money. I'd rather live rich than die rich. I'm going to say that again. I'd rather live rich than die rich. Use what God's given you. And then what you don't use, invest it. I don't mean just spend wildly and frivolously now. Use it. Invest it in God's work. Share it with people. Not everything that God gives to us is for us. Is that right, brethren? Surely to heaven, we've grown enough in our spiritual lives to realize that not everything God puts in my hand is to put in my pocket. God will put something in my hand that he wants me to slip in another man's hand. And so when you're living to where you think everything that God gives me is for me, you're living too narrow. You're not living with the world view as far as missions and God's plan and God's view. God sometimes will give through you what he will not give to you. And I've learned this, and I pray that you will, and I believe many of you have. It's obvious from our missions program. But I pray you would continue to understand this principle. It's a very important principle. And so I'm going to ask you, are you sending up treasures? Are you laying up treasures? Are you living for eternity? Paul mentions this again here in chapter number 6. Notice if you would. Let me see if I can find it here. Look down in verse number 19, I believe it is. 1 Timothy 6, verse 19. Lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Paul said, you send some things ahead of you. You'll be glad you did. Don't leave it all back now. Send some ahead of you, right? That's what he's saying. And so, number one, lack of money. Number two, loss of money. Loss of money. Teach your children now. Teach your children that not everything that we get is for us. We're going to share. Teach your children to be givers. Come on, folks. Teach your children to be givers. Teach them to give to others. Teach them to be responsible givers now. You know what I'm saying. I shouldn't have to qualify every statement. I'm not saying go out and frivolously throw money at poor people. I'm saying teach your children to be givers. Teach them to be responsible givers. To give to God's work and to missionary endeavor and to those that truly have need. Teach your children that. It'll make them better people. It will. Our world is filling up with takers, mooching, lazy, trifling. Won't work. That's right. Won't work. I can't tell you the places that we've gone to try to even have a meal. And they say, well, you know, we might get over here to serve here in a minute. We can't find people to come in to work. We've actually gone to a place and they had a sign up and said, we can't open. We can't find anybody to work. Right here, brethren. I'm not talking about in some third world country. In America. In Virginia. In Greene County. Went down to Red Robin and they had a sign on the door. We can't open because we can't find anybody to staff. I thought, what in the world? What's going on? Lazy people. Waiting on a handout. That's the way they were brought up. Like this. You teach your children different. You teach your children God's blessed us. And not everything God gives us is for us. We're going to give to someone else. We're going to share. There's three key things you can do with money. You can spend it. We're pretty good at that. Amen. That's right. You can save it or you can share it. And I believe the Bible teaches all three of them. But just use some balance. Use some common sense. Pray and ask God, God, what do you want me to do with what you have entrusted to me? I want to be a good steward of this. I don't want to have to stand before God and answer that I didn't take care of the things that he gave me. And I spent something that he gave to me intended to be given to someone else. And I just want to, while I'm here, I want to say this. And I realize I'm talking to a Sunday night group, okay? But that doesn't mean that there might be somebody in our congregation just because you come to church on Sunday night doesn't mean you wouldn't rob God. But now if you rob God, I'm here to tell you, I'm not angry at you now. I just want you to know something. The curse of God's on your life. It is. And God will not bless you. You need to get your children together and let them see you write that tithe check out and let them see you write that mission check out, and you need to teach them from the earliest of days in their life to give their money to the church and to tithe and to give to mission. Say amen with me now. Give to special projects. You need to give that. You need to teach your children that. And children, you need to listen and learn. And if you're in financial straits, I want to encourage you. Before I get to my final two quick points here, if you're in financial straits, don't you go home and say, well, you know, I feel ashamed and I feel like the preacher's talking to me tonight. Well, God told me to preach this message, and whoever's getting spoken to, it's God doing it, not the preacher, all right? So I want you to know this. I want you to listen to me. People get themselves in financial difficulty. Financial difficulty is a special kind of bondage. And I want you to hear me now. It's a special kind of bondage that will lock you up to where you will be very limited in what God can do for you and with you in his service. And so I want to ask you to go home tonight and call your family together and say, we're going to pray and ask God to help me as the leader of my home, fathers. And if you're a mother and your dad, there's not a man in the home or he won't come to church, you need to say, then we're going to pray and ask God to give us wisdom to be good stewards of what he's given us. There's going to be some changes in our residence. We're not going to just buy stuff because we want it. We're going to start recognizing needs. Amen. And we're going to start prioritizing what we buy. And we're going to work to get out of debt. Sharon and I have a goal. I want to be debt-free sooner than later. How about you? Amen. Debt-free. I don't know about that, preacher. Well, you pray and ask God to help you. God can help you. But you got to have a plan. You've got to be content with where God has you and what God's doing in your life. Discontentment will cause you to go deeper and deeper in debt. Now, hear me now. I know a little something about this. Discontentment will drive you deeper and deeper in debt. And so you ask God, God, help me. I want to be content with you and what you have for my life. And I want to confess the sin of discontentment. And I want to be a good steward of what you've given me. And I want you to help me and give me wisdom to lead my family, that we can work together as a team to become debt-free so we can be better used in your work and in your kingdom. I don't think that's an unfair thing to ask of a people to pray. I think it would be for all of our benefit. The third thing I want you to write down is the love of money is dangerous. It's dangerous. The lack of money cannot take your contentment. The loss of money is inevitable. It's going to happen. Just plan. Just plan. But the love of money. Look at verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Say, oh, preacher, you believe that? I sure do. God said it, I believe it. Now, some people say, well, all of money. Just money is the root of all evil. That's not what the scripture said. I will tell you this, though. The love of money is the root of all evil. But money in itself causes a lot of problems. I cannot say that money in and of itself is the root of all evil because the Bible doesn't teach that. But I've lived long enough to see that money causes problems. I've seen it separate chief friends. I have. I've seen it cause many marriages. I do a lot of marriage counseling in my ministry. Over these years, I've just sit down I don't think I would be inaccurate in saying that most of my marriage counseling, at least 50% of it, is money related. Finances. Poor handling of finance causes a lot of arguments and a lot of stress on people. And it just gets people in a foul way, and they begin to think there's no way out, and it causes people to live on edge and at each other's throats. And I just want to encourage you now. What do you love in life? What do you really love? Look at what the scripture says in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. What's your ambition? What is burning in your heart? Please listen to me now. I'm going to wrap this thing up, but I want to hit this right here. What is really driving you? When you get up each day, is it to do the will of God or to make another dollar? You see, it's the world that says another day, another dollar. That's not the reason I live. For me to live is Christ. I said for me to live is Christ. Not a dollar. Not a purchase. Not to feel some itch. Brethren, the love of money is the root of all evil. Look at what he said here. He said, which while some coveted after, it was they got up in the morning. That's why they carried on in the day and they couldn't even close their night because they had to keep chasing another dollar. I'm not for laziness. I believe a man ought to work. I believe a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. That's easy for you to say, preacher. You living lavishly and all you do is get up and preach about an hour every week. First of all, you know little about the ministry. I'd say nothing. But second of all, I know what it is to work, and I'm not saying it's everyone's place to do this. I have worked, gone to school, was a husband, did homework, and pastored a church, preached three times a week, went soul winning. I know what it is to be busy, all right? I know what it is to work 40, 50, sometimes 60 hours plus a week. And many of you do too. And that's why that I can stand up here and say, work! And you say, amen, preacher. You try this in some young generation woke church and they'll look at you and say, what's that? That's that dirty four-letter word. Amen. Work's not a dirty four-letter word. It's a word that we need to pass on to the next generation. But you don't work to chase money. Now hear me now. You don't work to chase money. You work to meet needs. You work so you can do what God would have you to do with what you earn. He said, look at it. The love of money is the root of all evil. In verse number 10, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. We've seen it happen over and over and over again. Working around the clock. Never with their family. Never in family devotions. Never in Sunday school. Never serving God. Never singing in the choir. Never using their talent in the church. Hey, I'm here to tell you now, it will shipwreck your life. And you are just driven and you have a burning ambition for more and more and more. I just got to have more. That's a lie of the devil. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he that loveth silver will not be satisfied with silver. You'll never have enough. He that loveth abundance will never be satisfied with increase. You see, the thing with this is it's never enough. Let's read on. Who having erred from the faith, in verse 10, and having pierced themselves through with many sorrows. God help us. I don't want to see that happen to anybody here. You don't want that to happen to you or a family member. Your family, you don't want that. And yet, if we don't keep our focus and we buy into this old world system and think that that's where it's at out there. Brethren, I'm going to tell you, what's going on here tonight is the most important thing that's going on in Madison County. You say, well, how can you say that? You don't even know what's going on in Madison County. Don't need to know. Don't need to know. What's going on in this place tonight is very, very important. We've met to sing and to testify and to worship and to hear the preaching of God's word and get instruction. It doesn't get more important than this. And so he said, I want you to understand something. The lack of money should not take your contentment. You be content with such things as you have. You thank God for it. Call your family together tonight and say, I want us to look around. Children, look. When they start asking for a bunch of stuff, say, come here. I want y'all to see something. See all that in there? Let's praise God for that. Let's bow and praise God for that. That bed you're going to sleep on tonight, let's praise God for that. That table you're going to sit around to eat that meal you're going to eat, let's praise God for that. Those clothes you're going to put on when you get up in the morning, let's get up early and praise God for these clothes we can put on. See, if we're not careful now, we won't live our lives that way. And we won't teach that to our children. They won't get it. And so I just want to remind you now. I'm just reminding us. We need to be thankful for what God has given us. Let me give you one final point. And I hope you'll write some of these things down. I read some things that was a great help to me. So I want to just mention it to you. So we said, first of all, the lack of money cannot take your genuine contentment. No matter what that is. You say, well, I've got a lot of money. Well, you know what? That's great. That's great. But if you don't get any more, the lack of it shouldn't take your contentment because your contentment shouldn't be in your money. Number two, the loss of money. It's inevitable. So live that way. Don't live like now you're going to have it forever. You're not. So invest it. Make sure you have plans for it. Number three, the love of money is dangerous. That if you're not careful, you'll be chasing money. And in the meantime, you'll lose everything in life. I cannot tell you how many people in my 36 years of ministry that I have seen lose everything that was something, that meant something to them because they were chasing a dollar. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. The scripture is very clear that they that let me see here where this is at. Let me just see. Look in verse number 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. Charge them that are rich in this world. Verse 17 of chapter 6. Are you with me, 1 Timothy? Why should I do that, Paul? That they be not high-minded. Now watch this. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. See, if you're not careful, your trust will change. You'll no longer be trusting God to provide it. You'll be trusting the money to provide it. And that can be whether you have a little or a lot. Don't let your trust change now. Don't let your heart flip. Keep your heart on who the provider is. That's right. And so I want to give you this last point, okay? The luxury of money comes with great responsibility. Whether you make $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year, $200,000 a year, $300,000 a year, $1 million a year, or $5 million a year, the luxury of money comes with a responsibility. I want to give these to you and I'll be through. I'm just going to name them. I want you to look at them right here in the scripture. I found them in the scripture. Number one, what is your responsibility with what God has given you? What is mine? The number one thing Paul mentioned here, look at it in verse 17, is humility. Be humble. Look at verse 17. I like it. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Don't you think you're something now? You be humble. You remember that all that you have, God gave you. Amen? You with me? You with me? And God helped me to do it too. God sure has been good to me. Who could testify with me? God has been good to me. God's good to us, brethren. And I don't want to be an unthankful person. I don't. I want to be thankful. And I'm ashamed to say sometimes God has to remind me. I feel so low. God has to remind me to be thankful after all he's done for me. And so Paul told Timothy, charge them that have the good of this world, that have some things, that God has blessed them. You charge them. Now, don't you be high-minded. So you be humble. You get that first point? On this last one about the responsibilities, number two, be trustful. Look at this. Nor trust in the middle of verse 17 in uncertain riches, but in the living God. So you trust the right source. You trust the God source. You trust God, not things, right? So be humble. Be trustful. What's the third thing? Be joyful. Look at it. Last part. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You don't have to feel guilty for having things, right? Has God given you a lot? Praise God. You don't have to say, well, you know, I want to be on the kind of the quiet side of that. I don't want to mention to people, hey, if God's blessed you, let the whole world know God's blessed me. Amen. Amen. Let them know where that come from. God did it. That's what he's saying. God, look at it again, the last part of verse number 17. It's God that giveth us richly all things to enjoy. It's God that gave it. Enjoy it. You say, well, I thought you said that God didn't give us everything for ourselves. Well, I'm not through yet. We're just in verse 17. Look at the next thing. Be generous. Verse 18. That they do good. He said, now you charge them now. That they do good. You charge them that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That's the same word that's used there in Philippians chapter 4. Ready to share. You be generous. God gives you something. Gives you like a handful on purpose. Take care of your neighbor. Is that right, church? It's the word of God. It's the word of God. And then we're going to close with this one. All right? Store it up. Store it up. Be faithful. Be faithful to God's word. Look what he says here in verse number 19 as we bring this to a close. Lay up in store for themselves. You charge them now that they lay up for in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. So he said, now Timothy, talk to your people about money. Don't be afraid to. Just talk with them about the importance of how to handle it and how to invest it. And how to look at it. It's a gift from God. It doesn't make us any better than anyone else if we have it. It doesn't make us any less than anyone else if we don't. because that's not where godliness comes from, nor contentment. Just be thankful for what God has given you and use it in a way that would honor Him. Let's all stand, okay?